Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Welcome, everybody. This is The Sports Rivals. I'm Gary Thorne. We are delighted to have you with us. Our purpose here is to preserve memories of classic sports rivalries through the words of those who participated in them. These are the rivalries that are described from the inside out, and they certainly are going to be discussed in that context here today. There are occasions in particular games that simply stand out in history in any sport. They are set up by the situation of the teams that are involved. And that was the case in the 1983 Sugar Bowl game. It featured Georgia, the number one ranked team in the nation, against number two ranked Penn State. And while it may not have been officially recorded as a national championship game, everybody knew going into that football game that this was it. That the winner of this football game was 99.9% assured of being regarded as the national champion for the year. Penn State would get it in a great football game over Georgia, 27-23. And today we have the two starting quarterbacks in that game to discuss the 83 Sugar Bowl. John Lastinger was the quarterback at Georgia. He was there from 81. On, in fact, in the Cotton Bowl versus Texas in 84, he would score the winning touchdown on a 17-yard run in that ball game. In the 83 Sugar Bowl, he quarterbacked against Todd Blackledge, who is our other guest today. Todd went 31-5 as the quarterback at Penn State. An academic All-American, Todd went on to professional football with both Kansas City and with Pittsburgh, and has had a long and outstanding career in broadcasting football games as an analyst. A couple of interesting notes before we get to our guest. I was astounded to find John Lastinger as the quarterback for Georgia went into that football game never having lost either a high school or college game when he was the starting quarterback. He went into that 83 Sugar Bowl with that record intact. For Todd Blackledge, he would come out of that victory, not only with his team having a national championship, but Todd was the MVP of that Sugar Bowl game. So John, Todd, it is a great delight to have you with us. And when we feature rivalries, we certainly have got one here, boiled down to one game, one afternoon, and one very big football game. Ultimately, Penn State declared the national champion. So let me ask both of you, I'll start with you, John, if you would look back for us, your feelings going into that 83 Sugar Bowl game.
Going into it, gosh, it was, and first of all, thank you for having me on, but going in, you just kind of mentioned it and I remembered it. We were ranked number one and Penn State was ranked number two, but, going into that game, we were the underdog, I think. I mean, if you were following a line, I mean, we were not the favorite. I think we knew, golly, if you back up a year before, when we were playing Pittsburgh in the Sugar Bowl and watched a lot of film of Pittsburgh's defense. And one game in particular was a game they played against Penn State. And, the game was, I think, if I remember, was kind of close for a little while. And all of a sudden, Penn State just went crazy, And I mean, so we're watching Penn State's offense on film because they did some similar things. They had, a tailback, a lot of eye backfield and some similar concepts, although we didn't throw it much. But, just really remember watching Penn State do a number. I think Penn State won the game 48-14 over Dan Marino in Pittsburgh. So, I think that's kind of when, for me, that had come onto our radar, like, hey, this team's for real. Tremendous balance, So we knew we were going to have to play a pretty decent game offensively and, you know, going in. But, you know, I think we certainly felt confident going in.
Yeah, so it's interesting because that it's exactly the score of that Penn State game. And if you ask any Penn State fans, I mean, that's one of the most memorable games in Penn State history. Pitt was number one at the time. Marino had had an incredible season his junior year, and we were able to go into Pittsburgh and win that game. And really, kind of our 1982 season, really the springboard was kind of the way we finished the 81 season with that win over Pittsburgh. And then we beat Marcus Allen and USC in the Fiesta Bowl after that, and kind of led into the following year. And, you know, we were fortunate to get to that game with Georgia as number two, because we were actually number one about midway through the season, and we lost to Alabama down in Birmingham, and lost that number one ranking and weren't sure if we'd ever get a chance to play for the national championship. And it just so happened, you know, somewhere between the middle of the season and the end of the season, SMU, who was ranked ahead of us, you know, had the great Pony Express with Eric Dickerson and Craig James. They went for a tie against Arkansas in the Southwest Conference game, and we were able to jump them by the end of the season to go to number two. So we entered that bowl season 1-2, and that was, you know, well before they were trying to orchestrate one versus two matchups. And but it just played out that way, in essence, a national championship game, and it was quite a football game, just a great game to be a part of. And you know, for me as a quarterback, to be the quarterback of Penn State and Joe Paterno's first national championship team officially was quite a thrill.
When you think of that game, what comes to mind first, Todd, in your mind for that 83 Sugar Bowl?
Yeah, well, you know, so it's funny because Georgia, you know, obviously they had Herschel Walker and you know, our defense, you know, knew they were going to have their hands full with him. And, you know, I thought John, you know, I don't know how many times John threw the ball a game, but I think he threw the ball very well against us in our game, because I think our defense was really geared into trying to, you know, to gang up on Herschel. But we knew they had a great pass defense also. I mean, they might have led the nation in interceptions. Terry Hogue was an All-American safety. And so we knew they were very, very talented in the back end of their defense. But we came in with a very aggressive game plan to throw the football. You know, and in the opening drive, we hit some big passes and went right down the field and scored to start the game. And it really kind of, I think, set the tempo, for us. We never trailed in the game. Now, Georgia made a couple good runs at us, but I just think the way we started the game, the aggressive mindset we had throwing the football, and then ultimately being balanced through the rest of the game, really kind of maybe knocked their defense back on their heels a little bit because of how well we threw the ball against them, and just, you know, set the tone for the game. But I do remember how we started the game, how aggressively and how effectively we started the game with our opening possession.
What are your memories for each of you? Go ahead.
Yeah, well, you know, I was kind of thinking from our perspective. I mean, I think, you know, it was a long – I mean, gosh, our last regular season game, you know, was we played Georgia Tech the Saturday after Thanksgiving. And then, you know, gosh, so we, you know, you probably had about 6 weeks, you know, of kind of beginning preparation. I mean, you know, had a little bit of conditioning work, you know, and to get through exams. And then, you know, just – and what I remember was just a very, very physical and tough, you know, bowl practice. I mean, it was, you know, where I felt good about things is that was our third straight Sugar Bowl. So, you know, you kind of felt like our guys are, you know, they've seen about all of New Orleans they want to see, you know, and we were comfortable being in Athens through the month of December. You know, it was almost kind of like we felt like, hey, this is becoming a tradition, you know, let's keep it this way. And, you know, you didn't have any students and it was pretty much all football, you know, wake up, you know, go to a meeting, practice in the afternoon, you know, maybe even do some stuff at night. And it was just, but I just remember it's like Coach Dooley, he wasn't playing around. I mean, we were just some incredibly physical practices. You know, I remember we had a scrimmage at Sanford Stadium, you know, on it, and it, here's what's funny. It was Herschel was excused from practice because it was Herschel Walker Day in Wrightsville, Georgia. And so he was down there for a parade, and you know, the red coat band was down there and all these dignitaries. Meanwhile, about 9 o'clock in the morning, Coach Dooley, we went through about a 3-hour scrimmage. I mean, him just a bloodletting out there, you know. And I mean, I was, you know, just couldn't believe it, you know. And I just remember this funny thing. The next night, my mom called me, you know, and I was talking to her, and she's, well, I guess y'all all went down to the Herschel Walker Day in Wrightsville. I just started laughing. I'm like, oh, no, Mom. Herschel was down there, but not the rest of us, you know. So, but, you know, again, very physical. But then, you know, getting there, I felt confident that our guys, you know, we're not going to be, you know, just taken by everything going on in New Orleans. And we really, you know, I mean, we knew that Penn State had a very balanced, I mean, our defensive guys would come out of the meeting and go, golly, very balanced team. You know, we hadn't seen anything like this, and we're going to have to really play well. And, you know, I just remember coming out for warmups and, you know, and all of that 6 weeks and all of that, you know, it was like finally behind us and okay, the game's here. And I just remember, I actually remember going out on the field and just feeling loose, like, golly, it's so good to finally, here it is, you know. Of course, look across the field and see those white uniforms and go like, okay, yeah, those are the same ones that I've seen. You know, they're all white except for Todd's black high tops. But other than that, it was, you know, we felt good. We did. We felt right, you know, just ready to play. Todd's right. They went right down the field the first drive. And then probably the biggest, and I'll be quiet, but the biggest disappointment was that we got the ball right back and went right down the field. And got it down, I think, you know, probably inside the 10. And we had a, you know, just a little sprint right pass. And Clarence Kay, our tight end, who was a great player, played in the NFL for 4 or 5 years, you know, wide open in the back of the end zone. And I had to kind of throw it over one guy's head. And unfortunately, I threw it about 3 feet over Clarence's head. And, you know, we had to settle for a field goal. And, you know, 7 minus 3 = 4. And the final score was 27-23.
Mm. Yeah, I remember that play. I remember Clarence being wide open too. And it was a great response by you guys. But I, you know, it's the other thing. And I don't know if you knew the story with this, but this, the reason the opening drive for us also meant so much was because I kind of put us out there, you know, with our team, because about 2 weeks before the game, we were still practicing in State College, and our sports information guy, Dave Baker, came up to me and said, hey, ABC wants to do something different before the game. They want to have you introduce the starting lineup rather than do the headshots and the normal thing. They want to bring a camera crew and have you kind of introduce the guys, and they're going to try to find, you know, maybe ask Herschel or somebody to do it from Georgia.
Yeah.
I said, okay, yeah, I'll do that. So anyway, it was a Saturday morning they were coming up. And so Friday, I can remember I was watching a youth basketball game, watching a young friend of mine play. And I'm sitting there and I got my notes and I'm trying to memorize, you know, hometown, height and weight, all that. I wanted to have all the information down. So now Saturday morning comes, we go out on the field, and this producer comes by, and we're in our all starting lineup on our coat and tie, and we're on the turf football field. The producer says, now look, we've never done this, but what we don't want the normal height, weight, hometown, all that stuff. Just we don't want that. We want something that's loose, fun, if you got a little story. So now I was scrambling, and but it ended up being the first thing I ever did in broadcasting. Maybe convinced me that I might have a future in it. But I took the mic and I just started walking down the line, and just a lot of little inside digs and jabs and jokes, and did it in one take. And the last line I said was, you know, that's the starting lineup for the Sugar Bowl, and that's the offense that's going to do a number on the Georgia Bulldogs. And so that's how it ended, right? So now when they aired it in the game, it was a taped segment, and they put it in lot with live after the coin toss, and we won the toss, or either we won or lost, but we were getting the ball first. And Keith Jackson said, you know, after that came back and I said that, and Keith Jackson just said, he hopes like that, you know? And so the fact that we got the ball, went down the field on the after the opening kickoff, kind of redeemed myself a little bit for putting us out there like that.
I was going to ask, because we've talked about this first drive that Penn State had. John, what do you remember the impact that had? I mean, what did you feel like after they did take the ball, drive down the field?
I really wasn't surprised. I mean, you know, I kind of felt like Todd's right. I think if I remember, you know, I think we stopped their run a couple of times and they had a couple of big third down plays. Maybe hit a crossing route, maybe hit the tight end down the middle of the field, something like that, you know, and then, but you know, we weren't, you know, terribly surprised. I mean, because we knew they were good and I kind of felt like, I think Todd said it earlier, our defense was, I think we led the country in interceptions, you know, Jeff Sanchez at free safety, Terry Hope at Rover, you know, so we were very, very opportunistic defense, but, you know, I mean, you know, coming down and I think we felt good getting the field goal. It's kind of, because we had moved the football. And I mean, it's kind of like, yeah, I think it was very clear, you know, you had their free safety, Mark Robinson, coming, you know, he was really filling the alleys on the sweep play. I mean, you could tell they're here to stop Herschel. You know, I mean, you know, linebackers coming downhill and of course they had, you know, Penn State, they always had great linebackers. So Walker Lee Ashley, great defensive end. I remember that. But you know, we were able, we just, you know, like, look, they're, you know, it's not the steel curtain here. We can move the football. As the first half progressed, you know, what I remember is being a little frustrated because, you know, it's kind of like, golly, I feel like we're in this thing, but we got nothing to show for it. And then, you know, you get late in the second quarter, you look up and you're like, dadgum, we're losing 20-3, you know, like this thing's about to get away from us if we don't make something happen.
Yeah. I can remember, I think it was in that second quarter, wasn't it, John, where you, I just remember one play because we had really our defense again. They just get so fired up, and when they had that much time to prepare our defensive staff, because I had seen them take the Heisman Trophy winner from the year before with Marcus Allen, who had over 2,000 yards, and they held him to 80 some yards in the Fiesta Bowl, you know, and so I knew our guys were going to be locked into trying to stop Hurst or doing the best way that they could to contain him. And I just remember their whole thinking was, we have to try to get him turning his shoulders to the sideline, you know, and keep him from going north and south because he's so powerful if he gets going downhill on you. And I think our guys were doing a really good job of that. But I do remember a play, I think it was late second quarter, where you ran a little, almost like a hook and lateral play, where you threw like a hook route and the ball got lateraled back to Herschel down the sideline and he didn't score, but I think it set up a score that kind of, you know, got you guys back in the game and got you a little bit more momentum there before the end of the half.
Well, you're right. I mean, it's 20-3 and I don't know if there wasn't much time left, but I mean, I think it had become apparent then that, you know, and again, Coach Dooley, not one to you know, get real comfortable with us throwing the football. But I think he realized that, you know, hey, we got to start throwing the football. And I remember on that drive, the first play of that drive, you know, I mean, I took the snap, made a fake, hit Clarence Kay in the flat. They didn't even cover him, Todd. I mean, they're so focused on Herschel, they didn't even cover him. So, you know, he gains about 15, 20 yards. And then you're right. We had worked on that little flea flicker play, you know, and I remember we had called a time and we had the ball, I think, on the right hash mark and they wanted to run it, but we had only practiced it on the right side. So I told them, I said, well, just, you know, we can do it on the left side. You know, I mean, if we have to make it work there. And we ended up running another play and then came back the next play and ran that. And, but what's funny. Yeah. I threw it to Kevin Harris, who pitched it to Herschel. And again, he got, you know, if he hurdles a guy, he probably goes in to score, but he falls down. But I think we were supposed to clock play it is what I was thinking, if I remember right. And I, you had a little cornerback out there. He was not.
Yeah, Danny Biondi.
There you go.
Could eat soup.
Very nice guy. I remember I met him. Met him in the, at one of the festivities before the game. But then we had a freshman receiver named Herman Archie, who was about 6'4". And I literally pointed to the end zone. I mean, you can at some point, I don't know if it's on the TV thing, but you can, I literally pointed, you know, and just took the snap back and threw it, you know, just kind of a fade route. And he went up and got it for the touchdown, which, you know, which really, you know, the old proverbial guy gave us the momentum going into halftime.
Hey, how about that, guys? How about telling us, I mean, you got two great coaches here in the Joe Paterno and Vince Scully. At halftime, what do each of you remember was said by those two coaches?
Yeah, you know, so I don't really remember. I don't really remember what all was said. I knew we felt good. You know, we felt like offensively we had a really good first half. And, you know, as John just mentioned, they scored there late in the half to kind of pull within 10. But we had pretty much done what we wanted to do for the, through the first two quarters. Now we, you know, in some respects, you might think we didn't get a very good talk at halftime because the third quarter we did not play very well offensively or not as well. And obviously a lot of that goes to Georgia's defense doing some different things. But I just remember at halftime we were comfortable. We were very confident. You know, everything that we had worked on and wanted to execute, felt really good about our balance. You know, it's interesting, you know, John mentioned the balance of our offense, but, and this is kind of one of those little trivia questions that I share with people, but when we ended up winning that game and winning the national championship in the 1982 national championship, we became the first team ever, at that point to gain more yards passing than rushing. And win a national championship. And it was actually, the difference was maybe 300-400 yards difference. It wasn't very much different, but we had really become a balanced football team. We were kind of pass heavy early, and then we got Kurt Warner in our running game going midway through the season. By the end of the season, you know, it was kind of pick your poison. And so we just felt like we had everything right where we wanted it to be there after the first half.
Yeah, I mean, I just think we carried that momentum. I mean, I don't know if it was, you know, well, I don't want to say it was like false hope or anything like nothing like that. I mean, because we did, I don't think we felt like we had played our best. You know, we got back in the ball game and we knew we were getting the ball and to start the second half. And so, you know, I mean, how many times you hear coaches in locker rooms, you know, say, hey, we're getting to start the second half. You know, they always talk about how important that first drive of the second half is. And, you know, and gosh, we got it and through by running and throwing the football, we went down and scored. And, you know, I know I threw a long one again to attempted a long one to Herman Archie down the right. And I mean, the reason I even bring that up is because after the game, people always say, well, you know, he dropped a touchdown. You know, you hit him right in stride down the right sideline for a touchdown. And I said, well, you know, we scored on that drive anyway. So it really wasn't. You know, other than maybe running, you know, it would have allowed us to score quicker and maybe save some time on the clock or for whatever. I mean, you can figure all you want, but again, we score and it's 20-17. And so, you know, I think both sides knew game on at that point, you know, and our crowds into it. And then I go back to, I'm thinking, golly, this is where our defense is going to, you know, somebody's about to intercept one, you know, we're going to get a batted pass, a fumble, something's about to happen here and we're going to take the lead. You just kind of felt like this, you know, that's right where we are, but to a credit, you know, to you guys' credit, it didn't happen. And you're right. I don't think you guys did much offensively.
No,
we didn't. Remainder of the third quarter, yeah. But you know, you didn't turn it over or anything like that. And I think that, you know, it literally let things kind of begin to calm back down, you know, like, you know, it wasn't in the building. All of a sudden, all the momentum was
right.
Georgia side.
Right. I think your defense, I think they got more aggressive in the third quarter. I mean, I wasn't the most mobile guy. I wasn't a dual threat guy by any means. I can move enough. But they got to me in the third quarter. I had three or four sacks, I think, and most of them came in that third quarter. So we were kind of going backwards a little bit. And again, that was credit to the defense. But like you said, the fact that we didn't turn it over and we were a solid, you know, punt team, our special teams were solid. So we were able to kind of just hold serve, you know, there through the third quarter score wise until we got into the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and I mean, you know, we had some Freddie Gilbert, defensive end, Jimmy Payne, no longer with us, but I mean, great player, you know, just, I mean, you know, we do, you know, we had some talent defensively that, I mean, some guys that could rush the passer. So, but yeah, that's what I remember. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's just kind of like, you know, it's almost like just kind of slowed the game back down a little bit. And, then it was kind of neutral. And then I think I wasn't it the first play of the fourth quarter, I think, is your touchdown?
Well, it wasn't the first play. I don't think it was the first play, okay. But it was I do know. I mean, I just kind of remember, obviously, I've seen that play a bazillion times. You know, I mean, anytime you go to Penn State or anytime people talk about or show highlights of Penn State, you know, it was the long pass to Garrity that kind of sealed the game or extended our lead. You know, like I said, we never trailed, but you guys cut the lead a couple times, but it was relatively early in the fourth quarter, and you know, we ran the football seven plays in a row. I do remember that. You know, we'd run, make a first down, run, make a first down. We did that seven plays. Now, the other thing that was happening during this drive is that Kurt Warner, who was our best player, our best running back, and you know, he had about 120 yards in the game and just had a great football game. But he was having problems with leg cramps. And so he would run and stay on the ground and couldn't, you know, he was getting cramps in his leg. So he'd have to come out. We'd bring another tailback in. Kurt would come back in, run, get cramps, have to go back out. And so we did this for seven plays in a row to get to about midfield. And then we just ran a play action pass off the same, you know, I formation run action. And Greg Garrity, who was kind of our very reliable receiver, he wasn't our flash receiver. Kenny Jackson was our flashy guy, but Greg was faster and quicker than people give him credit for. And he ran by, I think it was Tony Flagg, who I think was a freshman at the time. Yeah.
Tony
was a freshman. Yeah. And Greg ran by him, and that was just one where I just kind of let it go with everything I had. And Greg made a diving catch in the end zone. I think that, that made it 27 to what?
Made
whatever
it 27
it was.
To 17 at the time.
Yeah, 27-17, which kind of gave us a little bit of a comfort zone. And I know you guys scored again, but that touchdown was huge for us at that point.
Yeah, well, you know, and I don't ever know. Some say that Tony was confused on, you know, he thought we were in a cover two, thought he had help with the safety, but I don't, you know, but then if you watch it, he didn't really play much of a cover two, you know, he didn't funnel the guy inside or anything. So I'm not sure, but yeah, it was a great throw and catch at a great time. And yeah, I remember that made like the cover of Sports Illustrated, which was, you know, just you know, painful. You know, our guys sitting over there doubled over and y'all are celebrating. But you know, no, it was you're right. I mean, it stretched it out. And I think the only way we scored late was that I think I got sacked and then we punted and you guys
Kevin dropped a punt. Yeah.
Yeah,
and Kevin, you know, Kevin Bow, who had a great game also, he could have very easily been the MVP. I mean, he had a couple nice catches and had a big punt return, and he's no longer with us either, but he that was about the only mistake he made in the game.
Yeah, I do remember him being running in. Yeah, but you know, we got it. I know we scored and then went for two, and I don't know. I guess we could call a timeout, but somehow, you know, they started the play clock before I'd gotten back to the huddle. I just remember that because, I mean, I wasn't paying attention. All of a sudden somebody slapped me and I looked up and the clock was running down. So we ran a sweep, but I always feel like we weren't really ready to when we snapped the ball in a hurry. And I think Herschel on a sweep or something, you guys stopped him, but I don't know that it would have mattered because we couldn't get the ball back. But, you know, having Kevin Butler, you know, we certainly felt like if we could get it back and get it anywhere,
right,
we might have a chance to tie the thing up. But who would have wanted a tie?
You know, one of the plays that I remember, it was a more subtle play, but it was a critical play in us winning the game. And I can remember John, I've seen you when I've done Georgia games. I've done a ton of Georgia games in my broadcasting career, and always love seeing Coach Dooley and spending time with him. And he and I have talked about this on a couple occasions. So when we had the ball our last time and we're trying to run the clock out the best we can, certainly we're running it and we don't want to throw. And we ended up with about a third and four situation right around midfield, a little bit on our side of midfield. And I think maybe you guys called your last time out. And so I was on the sideline and they're trying to decide what play to run, running play. And I told Coach Paterno, I said, let's give me this. Let me throw, give me the option to throw this if it's open. Just a little quick out to Garrity just to get the first down. Then we might be able to just run the clock out after that. Right. And, they hesitated for a moment. And then Joe said, all right, go ahead. You got the, if it's there, take it. So we ran this, and I checked to the throw. And it was complete for the first down. But our tight end, Mike McCluskey, he moved early on the play and it didn't get called. And, we got the first down. And I can remember talking to Coach Dooley about that. And a couple times he says, that tight end moved a little bit on that play. I said, yeah, I think he did flinch a little bit. But we got the first down and then we ran three more plays and punted. And by that time, it was under 40 seconds, I think.
Yeah.
The
punt was down at zero because
I don't think
he went back on the field. So, great game, disappointing, obviously for us. But
what a great run you guys had. I mean, when you think about it, and I've covered college football. This will be my 30th season covering college football. And, we've seen some great teams and, the Alabama run here of late and Clemson. But, back then for you guys, 3 years in a row, you win the national championship in 80, beating Notre Dame when Herschel's a freshman. Then you go back and play Pitt, led by, as good a quarterback as there's ever been in college football, Dan Marino, a Hall of Famer. And then we play in 82, but what a run for 3 years in a row, of you guys kind of dominating that conference and being right there in the national championship hunt all 3 years. That's pretty incredible.
Well, nice of you to say that, but it's, I still think that, probably playing Pitt in the year before and playing you guys were, you're playing the best of the best in that deal. I guess you could probably throw Southern Cal, SMU, some of those guys, but during that era, you guys were, you guys were exceptionally talented. So it was, I was always proud to be a part of all that, you can't help it. A couple years ago, Georgia's playing Alabama, and I look out and Jake Fromm's on the field, and I just kind of say to myself, he's got the same opportunity I had a million years ago. I just hope that maybe this turns out different, of course it doesn't. You just think that, you hate to say it, but he's going to remember that for, unless he goes on and starts winning Super Bowls in the NFL, he's probably going to remember that for a long time.
Yeah.
Guys, can I just, I'm going to have to, do I have to close, but I hate to have to do that. There's one thing, and I'm asking this more as a fan and just a really interested. I mean, here you go into this game for the national championship. You are both highly touted quarterbacks, clearly with great records. Do you think about one another either before the game or during the game? Are you paying special attention to that guy on the other side under center? Is that something that takes place for you guys?
See, here's my perspective on that. We live in a completely different era now than we did back then. Back then, I'm sure I knew who John was, glancing at a defensive scouting report one day after practice or something. But you know, it wasn't like you didn't go to camps in the summer. There was no Elite 11. You weren't running into each other. We weren't on any of the same recruiting trips or anything like that. So there's really, you don't have the same kind of knowledge of the guy you're playing opposite of the way you do now. I mean, now these guys, you know, a lot of them, they text each other all the time. They go to the Manning Passing Academy in the summer. They go to Elite 11 and they're friends, you know, and then they compete against each other during the season. But when we played, John, I mean, you know, I mean, I knew who Herschel was and I knew who the defensive guys were that we were preparing for, but you know, that was about it.
Todd, if you knew who I was, you had wasted some time. I don't think there's any problem. But no, I knew who Todd was just because of, you know, obviously he's a great player. But I mean, I remember I was asking a press conference prior, you know, something about that, you know, kind of comparing me to Todd. And I just kind of said, you know, listen, you know, what they're doing offensively versus what we're doing is two different things. And you know, he gets a few more opportunities than me. And I wasn't trying to, and maybe I was sticking up for myself a little bit, but I just kind of said, look, it's just, you know, this is not really an apples to apples comparison, but, you know, no, nah, I mean, you were drafted in the top 10 in the NFL. That says it all.
Guys, I hate to have to close it. I mean, I sit here as a fan of both of you and of the football game, the 83 Sugar Bowl, and you've been listening to the two quarterbacks who played in it, John Leistinger, who was there for Georgia, Todd Blackledge, Penn State. Guys, it was just great hearing you talk to one another and the stories and the feelings that you had in one of college football's great games. Our thanks to both of you. John, Todd, thank you very much for being our guests here today. And that is going to conclude another chapter, of These Sports Rivals. You can learn more about us and other episodes. You can log on to thesportsrivals.com. You can join the conversation, have questions, suggestions for those you might like to hear on the show. And you can follow us on Instagram at thesportsrivals, on Twitter at rivals_podcast, and on Facebook by searching for The Sports Rivals Podcast. Thank you, everybody. Thanks to John and Todd. Hope you enjoyed it. And please remember, it is the rivalries that make the games.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.